In this episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, please join us as we interview Kadrin, a Hall of Fame Neverwinter Nights 2 custom content creator of the PRC.
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, this is Matt Wooten, a.k.a. Kadrin.
Hi, my name is Gary Black from Realms of Trinity.
Yeah, Justin here, Realms of Trinity DM.
Hey, this is Brian from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast. And you're listening to the 138th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. And in tonight's episode, we got Kadrin, from the creator of the Neverwinter Nights 2 award-winning PRC. He's going to come in and talk about all his work that he's done since his last Neverwinter Nights podcast interview, and give us basically how he works and, you know, all the stuff that he's been working on dealing with the community for the past 2 years. But first, you know, we do have some news items here I want to get into. For Neverwinter Nights 1, it's more today we're going to go over the April Hall of Fame winners. I checked out the vault just today, and they had about 5 days ago or so, they had released the April Hall of Fame winners. And to get a Hall of Fame on the IGN vault, you need to have at least 25 votes, and I believe a rating of 8 or higher. We're going to go through Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2, and then at the end, Jason's got a new module that's come out for Neverwinter Nights 2. He's going to give a little review from that we had reviewed earlier. So getting into the Neverwinter Nights 1 Hall of Fame winners. For creatures, it has a whole rabbit pack by Fire Hazard. It's got a score of 9.2, and it has 25 votes, and it was originally added on 12/19/2002. So this took a little while to get to the 25-vote marker, but it's a creature pack. We have some models here. We have the Tomb of Horrors, Forgotten Realms, version 1.4 by Dragorumic, and it has a score of 8.18. It has 56 votes. We also have Silver Darkness, Chapter 1 by Nuke. It has a score of 8.18, and it has 48 votes, and it was added on 4/19/2003. And then we have In Search of Adventure by The George. It has a score of 8.18 with 39 votes, and it was added on 3/14/2003. And last but not least, we have a script here. It's a Season Global Weather System. Well, that sounds pretty cool. Version 3.50 by MJ. Score of 9.26 and 25 votes, and it was added on 12/13/2004.
Now, for Neverwinter Nights 2, I'm going to talk about Neverwinter Nights 2 Hall of Fame winners of April. In Neverwinter Nights 2 Other, there is a client extension by Skywing with a score of 9.95 with 26 votes. It was added on 12/19/2009. For international modules, there is 16 Signy by Claudius 33 with a score of 9.74 with 28 votes. It was added on 12/22/2009. And another one, El Cello Preludio by Lagarto, score 9.22 with 28 votes, added on 12/24/2006. The last part is at the Neverwinter Nights 2 English modules, The Haste at the Neverwinter Nights Light Casino by Black Rain Software, with a score of 9.88 with 27 votes, added on 12/20/2008. Chapters 1 and 2 of Planescape, The Shape of Dreams by FFG, translated by Marcus, Stefan, Karakan, and Colette, with a score of 9.85 and 53 votes, added on 1/2010. Last one is Live Forever by SN with a score of 9.67 and 55 votes, added on 10/17/2009.
And we have a new module alert. There's a new module out on the vault now, The Last Days of the Raven. This is in the Forgotten Realms in the area of Neverwinter. The setting of the module is the same time as Storm of Zaheer, against a backdrop of hard times in Neverwinter brought on by the war with the King of Shadows. Has a playtime of 4 to 5 hours, levels 6 to 9, any class with 3 companions. Brief synopsis, 50 missing men, all that stands between Tyson and the security for his family that he has worked a lifetime to achieve. Now his illness brings Tyson's days to a close, and Lord Nashor threatens to direct his inheritance to the Temple of Lathander. The future and the fortune of Tyson's family hangs in the balance. Just one document stands between Lord Tyson and the redemption he needs, a muster confirmation, sealed with the arms of Lord Nashor himself. With the documents long gone, the quest to help Lord Tyson seems futile. Not all have lost hope, however. Cleric Orman still holds the belief that his patron can be cleared, and the shadow hanging over his family lifted. The proof is here. The proof is there to be found, but he cannot find it alone. Not 24 hours after you fight with Tanith, you are swept up by the events going on around you again. Instead of the hard-earned rest you deserve, you find yourself traveling to Thunder Bay in search of answers from the Cleric Orman. Once there, instead of answers, you find only more questions, and the list of people wanting to kill you seems to grow longer with each passing day.
Well, that definitely sounds like a riveting single-player module. If anybody out there that's wants to check this out, it's a newer module. Definitely give it a shot. It's looks really cool, and it's set in a great area, especially a familiar area like Neverwinter, it being Neverwinter Nights. So it's definitely one of the it's definitely one of the more familiar to you if you have never done a single-player module yet. This would be one to definitely check out and download. And for all the Hall of Fame winners, check out their content as well. I mean, there's a lot of fantastic content that's been produced for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. I mean, it goes without saying, the game's been almost 10 years, and it never fails to amaze me some of the content that is out there and that people have put together. I mean, even like we were just talking about that global weather system. I mean, that sounds really cool. And I mean, I'm sure that even some of that stuff could be translated to Neverwinter Nights 2. Most of the scripting is very similar, so... anything that you see out there, definitely give them a vote and, give some support behind, the content creators, because they really are driving the game and moving it forward beyond what the actual game was ever intended to be. So definitely give all these works a shot. And before we get in our interview, just one last piece of housekeeping. We are looking actively for some new Neverwinter Nights 1 interviews. We want to continue on our Neverwinter Nights 1 Legend series. So if you're listening to this and you want to, if you know any content creators that, have meet the criteria for Neverwinter Nights 1 Legends, meaning that they have at least one Hall of Fame product out on the vault, and maybe multiples would be better, and they do content creation, module creation, and or persistent world development, definitely send them our way, or if you're listening and you're a developer yourself, definitely get a hold of us on our forum for the Neverwinter Nights podcast, and we'd love to have you on. I know we've done a lot of Neverwinter Nights 2 material, but those content creators seem to be the only ones really answering the call when we go out. I actively go out continuously and I'm trying to cure interviews and different things from the Neverwinter Nights 1 community. I'm having a little bit of trouble getting those. So if you know anybody or if you yourself are a developer, please don't hesitate. We would love to have you on and get your word out there about your products and your upcoming works, because I think that'd be great to let people know, what you have going on and what you have contributed and going to contribute to the community. Keep the excitement going between amongst developers and players. So please don't hesitate to give us a holler. And we got Cadron here, so let's get this interview cracking. Well, hey, Cadron, thanks for coming on the Neverwinter Nights podcast. Since our last interview, you got a lot of stuff that you got done, and really appreciate you coming on and telling a lot about your work to the community. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks. No problem. I'm a software engineer by day, actually a senior software engineer. I develop weaponizing software for the military. So I do a lot of coding, scripting, team development. So doing content development for Neverwinter Nights 2 is pretty much kind of day job turned into a hobby.
That's a heck of a... You're working on military software and you're also working on combat game systems. That's awesome.
Actually, it's easier to do the day job part than the night job.
Yeah, I can commiserate with you there. What got you started into Neverwinter 2 custom content development?
The biggest reason is I was a little less than thrilled with all of the spells that paladins had available to them, because I always liked playing the whole Shining White Knight type. It's completely different than me personally, so, you know, go for what's different. And prefer, you know, roguish smartass in real life. Gets me into trouble, but it's also fun in Vegas. But yeah, there wasn't a lot of spells for paladins, and I thought, well, I mean, I know the NSS, the script language was there from Neverwinter Nights 1, and I'd looked at it back then, but never really did anything with it. And I'm like, yeah, that'll be easy enough to add some more. So I added 30, 40 spells, I think. And then it kind of snowballed from there.
Okay, so and why or how did you decide to start making an entire prestige class pack, including all those spells and extra feats?
I mean, I got the spells out and put out the first cut of it, and people started liking it, and they were like, hey, why don't you do some, I think, assassin spellbooks and blackguard spellbooks at the time, since I had fleshed out the paladin spellbook. They wanted a whole bunch more clear domains and stuff like that, so I ended up doing several different little downloads. And it quickly got to the point where, you know, all of them have maybe a spells.2da file or something. And it's like, okay, obviously I'm going to need to make a single project, throw everything in it like the kitchen sink and go with that. And so that's the first release of the PRC pack, was pretty much me upgrading the paladin and ranger or paladins, assassins and blackguards, thrown in some new domains, and then I think I started adding a couple PRCs just to kind of dip my toe in the water, see what that would be like.
So what is the hardest part when creating your custom content?
Dealing with the flaws in the engine. And I know that's not a nice thing to say about it, but
I mean, but it's showing the truth, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can expect to code one way, and if all things being equal, it should work the way I expect, but then I have to deal with the extra little wrinkles that, well, yeah, you might think the effect works this way, but actually it works absolutely nothing like what they documented, so you figure that out when somebody starts bitching, or you start testing it and like, what the hell is it doing? It's not doing what I wanted it to. And you have to go set up a whole bunch of tests, debug it, figure out, oh, okay, great, they don't do that, so I'll write my own thing to do it. So, yeah, that happens a lot, more than I would like.
Yeah, I know just from the development that we get into for the persistent world, it's just, you know, it's constant. Like, when you actually find code that actually works like it's supposed to, you cherish it. It goes in, like, the vault. You know, because you expect it to work one way, and it ends up doing something, or it doesn't do anything. You know, so you really have to know exactly how it was intended to work, because a lot of half the crap's not even documented right.
Yeah, well, and as a coder, I understand that completely, because I couldn't exactly say anybody at work is going to understand everything I write, so comments.
Yeah, you know, since you know a lot of mechanics of the engine, what do you think's the biggest flaw of it, and why?
I think some of the biggest flaws are probably how they handle polymorph at the engine level. You know, it cuts a lot of spell slots, causes you to forget a lot of spells. It doesn't handle all the skill additions and stuff correctly. And some of the other stuff would probably be like when you log in or log out of the game. A lot of it's in the character section for Persistent Worlds is where the biggest holes have been. I mean, most of the other stuff is kind of like, that's an annoyance, I can work around it. But when equipping and unequipping several times stacks up bonuses, that gets pretty bad when it's on a PW.
Okay, so do you still play the days, or is it just your development work?
Yeah, pretty much just development. I think I got halfway through Mask of the Betrayer, and I don't think I've actually played since.
I think I've played it several times. Just loved it so much.
It's one of those I get started, and then something about it'll be like, you know, I like that, but I wish this happened, or I hit a bug, or I start thinking, hey, that reminds me of this other class or feat or spell. Let me go add that. And it's one of those, usually I get a lot more mileage out of throwing something new together than it is playing the game.
Yeah, I noticed. Well, and one of the things that I tell from the development we do. I mean, the fact that, like, we do most of this stuff in the free time. I mean, heck, I mean, you work, you do all that work a day, and then you come home that a lot of times to work on the actual PRC pack or whatever you're working on. It's like that, but then to get into the game and then spend that time, it's really hard to kind of balance when you're really dedicated, like you are, about with a lot of the. I mean, you got this pack out there that's being used by a plethora of persistent worlds, modules, and all kind of other. God only knows where it ends up being used, you know, and you're supporting it as actively as you do. I can understand not getting in game and actually being able to get in the game a lot like that.
Yeah, I played Dragon Age.
Well,
a lot of different games, RTS games, RPGs. I mean, it's just one of those when I work on it so much, I don't exactly want to play it. And yeah. I think a lot of that happens when developers, I mean, they like their games, but a lot of it's, you kind of get burned out.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, I totally understand that. It's just one. It's the part of it when you're a content creator and you're spending that much time working on something. It is really hard to. And I just from talking to other people too. I mean, we've interviewed a crap load of NWN 1 and 2 persistent worlds in the past couple months, and you know it seems like the people that are doing the development don't really do get to play the game a lot, and they play it like you said. You play Dragon Age and other things like that. That's what I see happen a lot of times. Is like you get in on something and it's like, oh, you know, I don't want it, man. I gotta. You just don't want to play. You know, you just don't have that wanting to play. Is you're actually kind of playing when you're developing, especially testing all your works and stuff before you release them.
Well, trying to. I do cut corners when it comes with hobby.
Oh, I understand that.
And, you know, when you start playing it and then you're thinking, yeah, I got all these things that I need to go fix. It's almost like a guilty conscience to where, you know, there's some things that are broke that you need to fix. So it's one of those, yeah, I'm not going to play this. But if you're playing a different game, you're like, yeah, there's no guilt.
Yep, totally understand.
So can you give us a little spoiler about any future plans you have with the PRC?
Well, I think right now I'm getting sort of close to wrapping up Hexblade and the Marshall base classes. And Hexblade is one of those arcane gishes that are full bab and have a lot of spells. Well, not really a lot, but, you know, they mix in spells and melee pretty well. And I'm having to do it, you know, the first cut is definitely going to be feat-based, just like the Assassin and the Blackguard, which is a little inconvenient, but I have not had a lot of successes trying to do a strictly GUI-based one that's also fast and can handle a PW. Their GUI was great for stuff like the Spirit Meter and Mask, but that's not so great when you're trying to get 60-something clients or 30-something clients talking to each other at the same time with the GUI going.
Yeah, there's definitely limitations when it comes to that. I mean, when we do GUI custom stuff, we try to keep it as simple as possible and to the most relevant type of thing, too. You know, we don't want to put stuff out there that's going to be, you know, hogging down the server or whatever else, too.
Yeah, and the Hexblade, I mean, a spellbook, you've got all of the meta magics that go into it that reorder your spells, so you have to basically redraw. They do a lot of work in that quickspell.xml that they have hidden on the engine. It's a lot of work trying to reproduce that in an actual GUI on the outside.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, that is really, that's complicated stuff for sure.
Yeah, I think that the way that the Assassin spellbook was done works, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's functional, and you can drag down onto the toolbar, and I think you can actually pick the sub-spells and drag those onto slots on the feat bar, but if you've got, you know, 4 spell levels, 5 spells, that's 20, so you're going to have at least 2 feat bars just to get normal feats plus spells going, unless you do the sub-radials and just pull the whole feat over. So, I mean, it's usable, but it's not ideal.
Yeah, and it gets pretty difficult to use once you get more spells and more spell levels. I mean, 5 or 6 spell levels with 10 spells each, it's pretty much impossible with that one. It gets harder.
And while we benefit from the fact that the sub-radials are actually limited to 5, so I'd have to break those 10 into 2 books for each level. But yeah, I mean, it does. You'll have a lot of sub-radials, which, I mean, I still like it better than what they had to do for Neverwinter Nights 1 with conversations.
Yeah, definitely the conversation stuff in Neverwinter Nights 1 is definitely, that's like the least appropriate solution, but the best that you can do at the time, that's for sure.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, on your homepage, you have a rather large text describing how the community content relates to you, but it stops at part 5 of 2008. Could you talk a little bit about the time since 2008 till today, and what did you experience in relation to the community since then?
Well, when I guess SOZ with Storm as a Hero was the last expansion, so the official support from Obsidian had stopped, so that we had fewer and fewer new players for the single player stuff, and a lot of it was more people were joining the PWs to continue enjoying Neverwinter Nights. So my focus has shifted more from throwing everything into the kitchen sink for single player and more towards, you know, trying to shore up weaker classes and stuff more for persistent worlds. Yeah, I forgot about trying to document as much of that stuff for that timeline in the community, but it's just one of those, taking time to write one of those things is a lot of effort.
Well, it's also effort versus return. You know, I mean, you being the fact that you've put out as much content as you have, and I'm sure you get, that's probably another question, as a matter of fact. Like, how many questions and things do you have to go through nowadays, now that you have a lot of persistent worlds and other content creators using your content? Do you get a lot of feedback, or what's been your experience with the community?
I get probably 40 or 50 emails or IMs a week. I usually have to...
God bless your soul.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, that's on a good week. There's some that I've hit probably 200 easy, and that's just... I mean, you know, posts on... I've got the forums on my wiki site. I also pay attention to every PW that uses my content. I look at their forums, try and catch bug reports, see what they like, don't like. A lot of people don't come out and say, hey, you know, this is broke or something. I just happened to be reading something on a build where somebody was trying to put together a monk and said, it kind of sucks when I put gloves on that my damage changes to slashing. And it's like, I've never heard of that before. Let me go look in this little 2DA file. I'm like, yeah, okay, they have it set to 0, set it over to 2, test it in game. Sure enough, it starts doing blunt damage again. I'm like, great, I fixed it. Works on my machine.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just dealing with a lot of that. There's a lot of, I keep a work in progress that's pretty fluid. I cut stuff a lot, which some people don't like. I add stuff all the time. It just, as soon as I find fixes, they go on. And lately, fixes have had priority over anything new. You know, but yeah. There's so many things and so many fixes to do. It's just a matter of trying to rack and stack, prioritize, and say, hey, here's a set for this cut. Here we go.
Yep.
And squeeze that out of what free time I've got.
Yeah, I can understand that. Have you ever thought of bringing anybody else on to join like a team or anything like that, so you're not the one as balls always in a vice or whatever trying to help you out at all? Or
I've thought about it, but part of that comes back to I do this, you know, I may have 15 minutes here or a couple hours there where I can do it at my own pace without having to, I don't want to say do the team collaboration thing. I mean, I'm a senior lead at work, so I pretty much help run a team of people on doing the weapons software.
Right.
So I have to do the day-to-day, get the team going, get these pieces to people, go talk to so-and-so when something doesn't work or something needs to change. And it's one of those, I come home and I'm like, I can just work by myself, knock stuff out. I don't have to argue about why it should be this or that way. Mm. It's one of the biggest reasons I haven't actually tried starting a PW or anything like that, is because it's, you know, nice and quiet.
Yeah, that's I mean, yeah, it really, I can say just from our perspective, I mean, we have a pretty large team, it's the hardest thing I've found, you know, over the past 3 years now is finding the right people who, you know, share the same vision on the product, because like you said, you don't want to get into a situation where like, okay, I'm playing this PRC out, you put it on the drawing board, hey, here's what I want to do, and somebody says, I don't know about that, or oh, you shouldn't do it this way, or something like that. And I could see that being a hindrance too, especially when you're working on something as detailed and, you know, forward moving is what you're working on and fluid is what you're working on. If you didn't have the right people, that could end up probably being a big crutch for you.
Well, I get a lot of that right now. It's the community.
Well, yeah.
I have final say at the moment. So
right.
It's kind of like, yeah, well, I can see your point, but I'm going to add it anyway, or I'll cut it. I mean, I do listen, but it's one of those, at the end of the day, I don't have to worry about making sure everybody gets along. I'm a bit, you know, opinionated. stubborn, so,
actually, here's the thing, though. When you're doing something, it's a work. You have to look at the entire PRC or whatever you're working on as a work. And everything you put into it is a part of that work. You intend it to work the way it is together. And the bottom line is that when you start getting into this type of a setup, you want to be able to say, hey, look, this is, you get to take it or leave. I mean, this is the way it's got to be. Now, the one thing that I will say, because we do use your PRC and have for like 2 years now, maybe a little longer, is that if you don't want a specific piece, you wrote it in such a way that you can say, okay, fine, go into 2DA, shut it off. You know, or make a script modification or whatever. You know, it's not like if you use your product, it's not like you haven't put it all together so that you got to use every little piece of it.
Right. And I mean, yeah, that's, I think out of every PW that uses it, each one of them has a slightly different implementation. And that's where part of those IMs and emails and me paying attention to their bug track pages is to try and help them either sort it out or try and figure out, hey, I need an add an option for something, or I need to make it, you know, try and tone something down because of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the whole work is definitely more like the kitchen sink. It's meant for single player. It's for everybody. It's not really meant to be something that PvP is based on and stuff like that. You have to do more work to get it to that. Mm-hmm. If I were to do a PW, there would be so much of it that I wouldn't put in. But even then, there would be so much of the core stuff I'd be taking out too.
I can say this for a fact. I mean, if we hadn't had dedicated staff to go through this, like every piece of content, because we have people on our staff that were like master builders. I mean, that's what they do. Min-max, they do all this stuff. So they basically went through, Mortis was one of our DMs, he actually went through every little combination you could think of, spreadsheeted the whole damn thing. And, you know, we sat down and, you know, we said, okay, we don't want this, 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 and this. And I asked you, and you, boom, you said, hey, go into 2DA, here, done. it was that simple. But if I was to have to do that myself, it would have been, you know, like you said, you'd have to go cut a bunch of crap out, and it's like, well, you don't want to do that. You know, you want to know what you're looking at and know exactly as many angles as you possibly can put together to make it. But I will say, from our perspective, I mean, everything that you've done, I mean, it's perfect. I mean, as far as going in there, doing, hey, take this out, take that out, hey, whatever. It's been that easy for us once we integrated everything. And the upgrades, too. Hey, the upgrades is another thing, too, because you make continual enhancements and new versions, and you're keeping your work fresh. And, you know, the fact that we are able to go in and just make script updates if we need to from your latest works, it's a tremendous job.
Well, I mean, like I said, I do cut some corners when it comes to it being after-hours kind of fun stuff. So I know there's a lot more bugs. So that's why I have kept it with it for so long, is because, you know, I hate having bugs in anything I do. Granted, I wish I had more time to test, but I mean, I'll keep fixing. It's like, you can look at the current one I'm doing. Probably a quarter of it's bugs in my stuff. Half of it is bugs in OEI stuff, and another quarter is new stuff. So it's kind of about that level of mix usually for new updates, hopefully.
But yeah, that's ideal. Totally ideal.
Catherine, where do you see and the NWN community going in the coming time, days, months, years?
Well, like with no new expansions, I think it'll be a lot more focused on PWs. I've been reading a lot of new players shifting between servers, just trying to see, you know, how the different PWs have set up the games differently so that they can get a slightly different experience. And then by the time they go back to any server they were on before, if it's still actively developed, you know, it's going to be different, new changes, new content, so then they can keep experiencing. So I think there'll be a lot of shifting back and forth between them. But mm-hmm. I haven't been watching the population drop. If anything, it's been going up, especially with the Steam release of Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yeah, definitely Steam had a traumatic effect on the number of players that I had seen in the population. I mean, it made triple, quadruple the amount of people that were online there for a while. What I did see was the fact that after a little while, there was a big slump off again, because a lot of the players that came in, they didn't, I don't know, it's like you didn't understand multiplayer aspects of the game, and they just never really gave it a chance. It seemed like it's dropped back down again lately.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the numbers in probably a week or two. I know Dale Lands jumped up quite a bit when they threw my pack on, and it was right around the same time that the Steam stuff had happened. So
yeah,
they jumped up. I'm not sure where the rest of them are holding on at the moment.
Yeah, we've seen a pretty big slash down in the last, I don't know, probably like last month. It's been kind of the school finals and spring breaks and stuff like that.
I was gonna say spring break.
Yeah, we got slaughtered the last. We got Sergeant slaughtered the last, Hacksaw Jim Duggeted the last month or so. But it's starting to come back now a little bit. But you know, obviously running the world, you're as soon as you see that, you're like, oh crap, what's going on? You know, so I start looking at a lot of different aspects of the community at large too, and I did see. In a lot of ways, I've been seeing a slump down a lot of the servers, so I felt a little bit better. So, but it is starting to come back up. But I will say this from the community perspective: I mean, the players that I see come on or I talk to from our world and other worlds, it's like the your pack is extremely well received, and you know that's one of the big reasons why people they like that variety. You know, they don't like this be hem-hauled into what the standard game provides.
Yeah, I mean, you got all the different ways to. You know, try your different wizard or warrior. I mean, and that's hopefully what I can keep building on. I'm trying to focus lately on the new base classes and stuff so that it opens up, some more layers to that so that, hey, if I throw this on top of it, it's not quite the same as if I was playing a warrior. You know, now I can try Hexblade, Blackguard, and go for that dark evil knight that's not quite a bard Blackguard.
So... what would you like to see more of in the Neverwinter Nights 2 community at large?
That's a good one. Better bug reports. No, wait, that's just from a QA standpoint. I know one thing I would like to do, but it's just one of those, not sure there's really, players to support it, would be trying to come up with a unique set of classes that, say here's 10 or 12 new base classes, no prestige classes, and try and do a whole new gameplay set from that, you can keep in Farron and you can set, even with the existing world, just basically change out the rule base and maybe rotate that out a few times and say, hey, here's a different way of playing, just to see how things go. I mean, there's not a lot of experimentation on that. A lot of people try, hey, I like all of these classes and builds, but it gets kind of hard to continue that after a point because of all the power building and stuff that is possible when you put certain combos together. But so I'd like a little more creativity in that, I guess, but I'm not sure that's really something that players would like, is to see that those kinds of sweeping changes.
Yeah, I think that, see, here's the thing, though. You know, I've seen a couple, we just interviewed a couple in Persistent Worlds that do some interesting things. Well, we just talked to the guy from, I think it was a Wolverheim or it was one of the other servers. They basically, Dark Age of Britain, Legacy Dark Age of Britain. Now, they did something exactly what you're talking about, is they've actually, they limit it to, like, your characters, like, level 8, and then there's, like, some other, like, there's things, they have a whole system in place on how you level up past that, but you, technically speaking, you don't get past level 8. But what they've done is they've wrote a ton of, like, new base classes and a bunch of other stuff, but they've totally changed the landscape of, like, the builds. So because of that, because they've just rewritten a lot of stuff from scratch and whatever, and it seems like for them, it's they're getting a lot of reaction from that, like you said, like you don't know how it was going to be taken. Well, I think some Persistent Worlds are moving in that direction where they're redeveloping some of the core functionality to make it like a different type of game.
Right. Well, see, I like that part, but I also like keeping it in Farron, because there's so many places in Farron that you can set stuff that everybody likes, everybody loves. I mean, that's still one of the biggest draws, is because Farron's still the most popular of the D&D world. But you can still do other stuff. I mean, that's like the whole house rule of Dungeons & Dragons, is basically do whatever you want, and it's still D&D. So you can throw in, here's 10 new classes, they're all from scratch. You can't get to any of the other stuff for right now. We're going to do this as a, period of take it for what it is. Everybody's something different. See how it goes, keep it in the same area. And then if that works, doesn't work, you can try something different. People get very attached to what they've got and how they play. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you're right. Because I mean,
that's risky.
It is risky. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and today with your class pack and how many different classes and options there are out there, you know, a lot of people are maybe used to having 40 classes to choose from instead of, you know, limiting it down.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, to be honest, I would like even more classes. I love to try those.
And yes. I get that too. And in that case, it's one of those, like, I'm adding these base classes and I've got a couple more PRCs. Right now, I've been sitting on any new PRCs, but hopefully I can chew through enough of these fixes to go, okay, now I'll start talking to the PWs and say, hey, what classes, you know, what prestige classes or base classes would you guys like to see? Or do you want me to keep doing new base classes? I mean, I could even do custom base classes and streamline them in with all the rest of them. They may be more or less powerful, and I'll build them specifically to where power building's not so beneficial. But that's like the Hexblade is going to have a lot of limits on power building. You're not going to be able to splash Blackguard, Warlock, and Hexblade and get 3 times your charisma saving throws, you know, that kind of stuff. Taking it from a balance point of view or trying to keep it somewhat sane, but it allowing it to be, hey, here's a completely new class and a new way to play.
Yep.
So with new classes, how many times do you get asked about psionics?
Not so much anymore, because most of the people who, at least on my forums, are pretty used to the fact that it'll happen over my dead body. I don't like the whole mental angle of it and mixing it in with magic. I like, you know, swords and sorcery, not sword sorcery, and I'm like holding my fingers to my head making you bleed. It just seems a little out of sort.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, well, the thing about psionics and stuff like that, I mean, I know that, you know, some of our last bits of work that we're going to be doing, it's, you know, we base all our stuff, our newest stuff, in the Underdark, and I could see that's more for a NPC/mob than it is for a PC. I mean, yeah, I think it's more tantamount to be like, okay, I want to play a Red Dragon. Not a Red Dragon Disciple, I want to play a Red Dragon, you know, or something like that. I mean, it would have a much more limited appeal, I think, to content creators, because it's not really the scope of what they're trying to do.
Well, my biggest beef with it is when they started doing the psionics, all the stuff like the psionic warrior and all that stuff, they pretty much said, okay, let's take all of the best of everything that's already in the core, shrink it down to just a few levels, and let people, you know, basically do the rest a couple times a day thing and get it all back. So it was kind of munchkinism to the extreme.
Munchkinism. Calm would love that if he heard that.
I checked that psionic thing once myself, and if I remember correctly, psionic abilities aren't treated differently from magic in terms of mechanics. Spell resistance works for psionics as well, so it actually isn't really that different.
Right. I mean, it's exactly the same thing. It's like, I want everything from warriors, from wizards, and clerics, and, you know, druids, throw it all on my little guy and give me a full bab and let me, you know, do whatever I want, and oh yeah, let me splash 3 or 4 or 5 different psionics, and now all those PowerPoints stack up several times, and it's like, well, look, I can do it all I want. It just it got out of hand. It's, well, not that Tome of Battle or anything like that didn't completely blow the power level out of the water, but the psionics kind of took the worst aspects, I think, of the rules and kind of abused them.
Well, you know, before we close out, is there anything that you want to add or anything you'd like to throw out the community or any last thoughts?
I think the biggest thing would be to keep the suggestions and bug reports coming, because, I mean, most of the stuff I gather now, I'm well past the point of, hey, I want to add this for me, obviously, since I don't play. Nowadays, it's kind of like, you know, hey, a couple different PWs all want to, you know, Divine PRC that also has sneak. Well, okay, let me look and see what there is, see if I can find something that exists. If not, I could always try putting something together. I've done custom classes for a couple of the PWs when they ask for it. So, I mean, you know, I take those kinds of suggestions and requests from just about anybody. And as we get further and further along with Neverwinter Nights 2, it's going to be more about the PWs. So it'll definitely be, you know, hey, this doesn't work, or I'd like to see something that does this. And assuming it's one of those I can get enough agreement on it, then I'll probably do it.
Yeah, bug reports and stuff like that are all a lot of times they are hard to come by. So I'll promise you, I'll throw some stuff out for us too. I'll go start poking around the bushes here to figure out, you know, to get people to report more stuff to us as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and people are going to usually it's like, hey, I wanted to do this and it doesn't work. So, I mean, getting people to actually do QA, nobody likes to do it. So I understand that. And the bug reports, I get enough of them. A lot of them I find myself. It's more the, hey, what new things do the servers really want to see? Because I can usually catch what the bugs are, or at least some of them, just from combing through posts and stuff like that. Everybody's got a bug for them, but there's not a lot of, hey, what do you guys want to see next? I mean, other than like area design and, you know, DM events and stuff, but specifically for, you know, classes, feats, spells, there's not so much a real, you know, focus or, hey, I'd like to see this going on.
Well, you get a lot of suggestions or requests on your own forum. I check it sometimes and there is a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, well, lately it's mostly been not so much the new stuff, but when is the stuff that I've already listed out going to show up, or some of the ones that I've cut? But like I said, right now I'm trying to cut doing the PRCs until I can get some of that bug list whittled down. But once I do that, I'll start back on opening up what PRCs and stuff to see. And some people on our community, and some people on my forums will, but my forums have a lot less traffic for new stuff these days and a lot more for bug reports, mostly because I think it's less single-player users and more persistent world players who are used to their own world forums.
Thanks, Cager, for coming on the show. I mean, it's fantastic information and, you know, really getting your content out there for everybody. And I tell you, from our perspective, thanks for working out the bugs. I really think that that's most important to us as game world runners and content creators. I think that it offers the most benefit to the community, and looking forward to your upcoming content. So if you ever need anything from us, you know, be glad to help you out, and just give us a holler.
Okay, will do. Thanks.
And you get the closing line.
And I'm still trying to think of one. There are no bugs. A wizard did it. getting game and level up.
All right. Perfect.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2011.